Heavenly Father, again we give you thanks and praise for all of the blessings you have given to us. Lord, we ask you now to receive from us a portion of your blessing to us as we return it to you in our tithes and in our offerings. We pray that we will use it prudently and appropriately for your kingdom work here in Newmarket and beyond. We pray in Jesus' name.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Do you know what it means to make a choice? To choose one thing and not choose another? You do it all the time, right? Your mother offers you something for supper and you choose this or you choose that, right? But our song that we just sung today was about people who make choices. They were invited to a wonderful banquet. Wonderful banquet. There'd be lots of food, lots of music, dancing, enjoyment. And they all made an excuse. They all chose something else. Some said, oh, I just got married, so that's more important to me than going to the banquet. Another one said, I bought a cow. I choose to go and see my cow and go to the banquet. Another one said he bought a field. He'd rather go and see his field than go to the banquet. They all said, please hold me excused. I cannot come. And so they made a choice. Andrew's making a choice to be elsewhere.
Are you just saying that anyway?
Okay. So the big choice we have in life is to choose God or not choose God. Right? Choose Jesus. Or not choose Jesus. And that will be a defining moment in your lives when you come to that point where you have to make a choice. Jesus offers you the banquet, the eternal banquet, living in heaven with him for eternity and living with him today on this earth. As you go through each of your days of your life, you can walk it with Jesus or you can walk it alone. And that is a choice and that is a decision you have to make. My prayer is that you will make the decision to invite Jesus into your life, choose him, and spend the rest of your life walking with him. Okay? You also have a choice now as you go downstairs to Sunday school, don't you? Choice is whether to listen to the Sunday school teacher and behave in class, or choose to do otherwise. Choice. There's a wise choice, and there's an unwise choice. Okay? I'm going to pray that you make the wise choice today. What's up, Andrew? Yes?
Can you read it?
Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for these children, Lord. We give you thanks for all of them, their homes and their families. Lord, I pray a blessing on their mothers, their fathers. Lord, and I pray you just be with them, walk with them, fill them with your spirit, draw them to you each and every day of their lives. And bless them now, I pray, during their Sunday school time together. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for so much that we have here in Canada, that we see every day on the news that others are being denied. Lord, the one thing we do have here is a democracy, and we have the freedom to choose our government. And so we pray for all those who are running for office across Canada today for the election tomorrow. Lord, we pray that you will guide the vote and bring to us as leaders, men and women, who are the right ones to govern our country. Lord, we have the blessing of choice, and sometimes that makes it very difficult for us. So I ask you to guide each and every one of us as we place our votes tomorrow. Lord, we pray for those who will win tomorrow. But Lord, we know that there will be many, many more who are running for office who will not win tomorrow and will suffer the disappointment. So we pray for them, their families and friends who have supported them, and we pray that they will be blessed just by the process of having run for office.
Lord, while we have that glorious freedom of being able to go to the ballot tomorrow without any sense of fear or threat, Lord, we look to our brothers and sisters in the Middle East who are being murdered for your name. And Lord, we just pray for peace in that region. Lord, we pray that our Western governments will make right decisions and wise decisions in their involvement in that conflict. And we pray for Israel, and we pray for the safety of that country, when it's surrounded by so many enemies who are determined to destroy it. And again, we pray that the Western world will continue to support Israel. Lord, we pray for the refugees that are now flooding out of the Middle East, Lord, mostly into Europe and North America. We particularly pray for the young families, Lord, for the mother on her own with the little children, Lord. We just pray your peace and your safety on them. Lord, we pray that people will open up their homes to receive these families and give them safety and security. And Lord, we pray for our own homes, our own families, our own marriages. Lord, we pray that we will exchange loving, kind words with each other, with husband to wife, wife to husband, parent to child, child to parent. Lord, when so many homes and families are filled with conflict, we just ask your peace, peace that passes all understanding, to descend on each one of us and bring a new, refreshing joy into our hearts, into our marriages, into our homes. Pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for our own congregation here at Christian Baptist. Lord, we pray for your Spirit to unite us in holiness and in love. Lord, we pray that again that kind words will be spoken between us, that gossip will not be heard among us, and that dissension and disputes and conflicts will be away from us. And we pray for our brothers and sisters in the churches throughout Newmarket who are worshipping together. Lord, for we worship one God. We are united under the name of Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And now each one of you have come here this morning with the troubles of last week and the concerns for next. In the quietness now in this place, be one-on-one with your God. Give him thanks for everything he's blessed you with today and ask him for what your heart needs for the next. God, you hear the prayers of the deepest part of our hearts, Lord. Sometimes we get to that point in our prayer life where we do not have the words and yet the Spirit takes over for us. Lord, thank you for the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit in each one of our hearts. Lord, guide and direct our steps. Guide and direct us each and every day of our lives. Lord, we pray for your protection over our congregation. We pray for your protection over our families. Lord, hear our prayer, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
As I was in the prayer this morning, mentioning the fact that we have one of the glorious freedoms of choosing our government. And we'll be going to the polls tomorrow. Apparently 3 million people have already gone to the polls. In the advanced polls and have made their choices already. And there are a lot of choices out there for us. There are lots of parties running in every jurisdiction, so we do have a choice, and we have to make our wise and prayerful decision about who we think is the best candidate for us. But we have to remember, of course, to exercise that freedom, otherwise we don't have that freedom. you don't vote, somebody else is voting for you.
We have to remember, of course, that we have a democracy. There are so many people in this world that don't. There are so many places in this world where, for example, you do have a vote. You can choose this communist candidate, or you can choose that one communist candidate. But you can't choose anybody else. Those kinds of regimes.
There are also other regimes where they do have elections, but everybody knows it's a complete scam,
because the outcome is already decided, thank you very much. But we call it a democracy anyway. So we need to be thankful that we have that freedom and that ability in Canada.
So we have lots of choices.
But choosing is difficult. And once we've made that choice, we're kind of stuck with it, aren't we? But given that choice, in a few years' time, we get to make the choice again. And a few years after that, if that's not working out, we can throw the bums out and make another choice again, which just seems to be the cycle of the democratic process. We make a choice, we make our preference, and we live with the consequences. And our text today, and our message today,
is not about elections and things like that,
but it is about making a choice. It is about choosing one thing over another, and making sure that choice that we make is a wise choice. Ask Gary to read the first passage there, John 3:17.
If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need...
No, John 3.
Oh.
Gospel of John.
I'm sorry, but the one first John. Give me a moment, please.
Read another one. He's reading number one, so he read it as 1 John. Gospel of John.
I'm here. John 3:17. Here we go. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Now this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for fear his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God.
Thank you. God had a choice. And it says there what his choices were. He said he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world or destroy the world, but he sent his Son into the world to save it. God's choice. He made the choice to bring salvation into the world through Jesus Christ. He could have brought condemnation. He could have brought destruction. Now we know from reading number 2, if you get ready to do your reading, we know from earlier days in the scripture that God did make the choice to destroy the world. Who's reading number 2?
Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came on earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and all creatures that move along the ground.
Genesis 6:6-8. Okay. Maybe it's another typo. But I got Genesis 6:6-8.
Can someone look that up? I got this wrong.
Okay, do you want to read the other Genesis 6:6-8?
Sorry.
We do it both ways.
Man and animals and creatures.
the earlier text of Genesis shows that God again had a choice, right? And his choice at that time was to destroy the world. Okay? We're at two strikes right now.
Good as the blue gems, right?
So there was this idea, God, the sovereign God, kept caring for his world, and in the Genesis text, he decides he'll destroy the world, and he'll save one family. Just one family. And in the New Testament text, we get this idea again, that he doesn't want to condemn the world now. He wants to save it. It's a different perspective that's going on now. God's compassion, God's love for his creation is such that he no longer wants to condemn. He wants to save. And Jesus came to save us, not to bring condemnation. And the decision point for all humans in that text is belief. In the John text there, it's belief. Those who believe were not condemned. Those who came into the light were not condemned. And it's our decision point to choose Jesus Christ, to make that choice that moves us away from condemnation and into salvation. But it's interesting, why do people continue to make the unwise choice? Why do people move out of the light and into darkness? Why do people stay in the darkness and refuse to come into the light? The third reader.
Read number three. John 3.
This is how the judgment works. The light has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. Anyone who does evil things hates the light and will not come to the light, because he does not want his evil deeds to be shown up. But whoever does what is true comes to the light in order that the light may show that what he did was in obedience to God.
And the scripture answers that question for us. It answers it very clearly. It says, this is the verdict. Like a justice type thing, the judge brings down the verdict.
This is the verdict. The light of the world came into the world, but men loved darkness rather than the light. And it tells us why people love the darkness rather than the light. It says it right there. Because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed.
It's a choice. It's a decision for each one of us to move more and more into the light that is Jesus Christ in our lives, so that the sin and the evil deeds in our life can be more exposed. Not exposed to everybody else around us, but exposed to ourselves. As we let God shine his light into our lives, who we are inside, who we truly are, comes to light inside us. And we see the darkness in our hearts, we see the darkness in our minds. But then there is a time when we kind of want to back away from the light because it's getting too close to reality. It's getting really close to who I really am deep in my heart. And I really don't want God shining the light in that part of my person. I'd rather he didn't do that. And so people walk away from the light because their deeds are evil. And we have to make a choice of moving into the light so our sin can be exposed and we can confess our sin and be redeemed from it and saved from it and forgiven from it. Or we shuffle back into the darkness. Read another four.
Night is nearly over, day is almost here. Let us stop doing the things that belong to the dark, and let us take up weapons for fighting the light.
Right. Let's put off the deeds of darkness, our sin life, and put on the armor of light. Interesting analogy there, the armor of light. When we put on the light that is Jesus Christ, it becomes an armor around us against evil deeds. Because we know that we have the light of Christ in us and on us, our propensity, our tendency to move back into our sin life will be lessened. So the idea here is again this either light and darkness and the choice of living in the light or the choice of backing away into the darkness where our sins can be hidden. But when we come into the light and we allow Jesus to shine his light in our hearts, our sins are exposed to ourselves and we can then confess our sins and be with him. And that passage there from Romans 4 says, the night is nearly over, which means time is getting short. We see the things that are going on in the world, and there's that, again, anticipation, is this the time of Christ's return? Some of the signs that Jesus talked about, wars, rumors of wars, famines, and things like that are going on all over the world, okay? And time is short, Scripture tells us, and we do not know the time. Jesus could be here before we get to lunch today. Ponder that. If you're still outside the light and you still haven't made a decision for Christ, ponder that he will be back before lunch. That's the possibility every day. Okay? So in the Romans passage it goes on and says, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension, not in jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Choice. Clothe yourself in Jesus Christ and don't gratify the sinful nature. Choice. It's one we have to make every single day. Okay, there's only one of us among us who readily admits to being perfect, okay, and doesn't have this challenge. But the rest of us know that we have this challenge. Every single day we get out of bed, our mind starts and the old nature kicks in, and we have to remind ourselves, no, I want to be clothed in the light today. I need all my language to be wholesome, holy, pure, true. My actions and my thoughts need to be under the light of Jesus Christ. Nobody wants their sins to be exposed. We all want to keep those inside. I don't want Gary to know what I'm really thinking. Okay? I don't want Annette to know what I'm really thinking. Alright? And we're all the same. We're all the same. There's sin in our lives, sin in our hearts, and we want not to be exposed. But we need to bring them into the light of Jesus. We need to bring them into what Jesus, so Jesus can expose them to us, and then we can confess and be forgiven. There's a certain shame that comes over a person when they know they're involved with a sinful life. And their attitudes, they're a gossip. They're not telling the truth all the time. They undermine people, they pull people down. Okay? People don't want other people to know that. And that brings on the idea of shame. Who's reading number 5? Genesis?
Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves.
The very first sin shows what happens to our human nature when we know we've sinned. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, chose not to listen to God, chose to listen to Satan, and chose to eat of the forbidden fruit, the first consequences of that was shame. They were physically felt exposed, and they wanted to cover up. And they went and hid in the garden, because they knew when God came out to walk in the garden in the cool of the day, he'd want to know where they were. And so they covered themselves up and they hid. And that's what sin does to us. We want to cover up, avoid, hide, and go away. But when we choose the light, when we choose to walk into the light of Jesus Christ, when we choose to come before our Heavenly Father to have our sins exposed to us, not to each other, to have our sins exposed to us, okay? Then Jesus forgives. We're able freely, in that privacy of that moment with our God, to confess our sin and ask him to forgive us. Not only forgive me from that sin, but will you take that sin away from me? that habitual sin, that attitude of the heart and the mind, whatever it is, take it away from me, because it makes me shame and I want to be done with it. Anybody here go to the dentist?
Most of us go to the dentist once in a while, right?
Dentist puts you back on the chair, right? And they put you back on the chair, right? All the way back. And you think you're going to fall off the other side of the chair. And they want you to open your mouth. Sorry? Talk louder? Okay, you're in the dentist and you're lying back in the chair and he or she wants you to open your mouth and they put... It's okay. There, I understand. I can't hear me sometimes. He puts that light on over here, right? He puts that light on over here and it shines down into your mouth. And you don't want him working in the dark, right? You want him or her to see the problems with your teeth and your gums. And you want it to poke around in there so that you don't get rotten teeth. And that's what this is. It's like this light that Jesus shines in life. You want it to shine into all the corners of your life and expose to you what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your mind, and you want him to dig around in there and get it out. You want him to get the rotten stuff out. Okay? Anybody ever have a dentist say to you, you've got like 3 cavities in the back there, I've got to drill them out and repack them? No, thank you. I'm fine with the cavities. Thank you. I'm fine with my teeth and my gums going rotten.
Of course not.
Okay? When something's been discovered like that, you want it out. And that's what coming into the light does for us. We come into the light of Jesus Christ, he exposes the decay that's going on in our lives, and we choose to have him cleanse us, redeem us, and forgive us. And so we should be willing to come into the light, not like those who choose not to come into the light. Reading number 6.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us.
Right. We have comforting words here from the writer of Hebrews. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, which are all the faithful people that have gone on before us. And he says, because of that, let's throw off those sins and those attitudes of heart and mind that hinder us, and the sin that entangles us and gets us drawn away from God. He says, let's throw those things off. Let's disentangle ourselves from those sins and with perseverance run the race that's set before us. So we get tangled up in our thinking, we get tangled up in our choices, our vision gets darkened, okay? But we're invited in John 3 to come into God's light. He didn't send Jesus to condemn the world, but to bring the light to the world, to expose our sin to us so that we can be forgiven. This wasn't a new thing. This idea of the choice between one and the other permeates the Old Testament as well. Let's read number 7.
But observe the Lord seems undesirable to you, and choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites. In these lands you are living, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Choice. And it's like every single morning when we get up, that verse should be there in our minds. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the pagan gods of the culture? And believe me, we're living in a pagan culture. Or are you going to serve the God, the living God, who has redeemed you and loves you and has sacrificed himself for you? Daily choice. Choose this day whom you will serve. And we must do this every day. We must choose every day to walk in the light. Choose Jesus Christ. Do the dentist thing if you like. Lord, shine your light on me. Shine your light into my head and into my heart expose to me the things you don't want in my life? And would you take them out? Would you drill them out for me? Get rid of the rock, get rid of the cavities, and make me whole. Make me holy, make me pure, make me righteous, just for this day, just for today. Because I have no hope that I can carry on beyond today. Lord, make me holy this day. I choose this day to live in your word. We must daily remind ourselves what God has done for us. We are creatures made in his image. We are fallen creatures because of the choices we have made. And yet we are redeemed creatures. We are redeemed and made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can walk in that righteousness if we choose to. If we choose each day to walk in the light. Or we can choose this day to walk back into the darkness with our old habits, our old attitudes, and our old behaviors. So remind yourself what God has done for you. He's created you, he's redeemed you, and he's strengthened you on your daily walk. And we need to remind ourselves each day who God is and what he wants to do in our lives. We walk in his light. Lastly, we're reading number 8.
Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to you, to your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. I've set before you life and death, choice. Blessings and curses, choice. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live. Choice. It's set before us each and every day to live in the light of Jesus Christ, to be done with our old way of life. I set before you this day life and death, blessings and curses. It's a choice we make each and every day of our lives, to live in the light that is Jesus Christ, or to live in the darkness. And it's a daily decision, it's a daily walk. It can't be avoided. The decision has to be made, and we do make the decision. If only by default, the decision is made every day. Will I walk with the Lord today? Will I choose Jesus? Will I seek him throughout the day? Or will I go on with my old ways and my old habits? Now the word repent means to turn back. And maybe today is the day you're going to decide to do that. And maybe today you're going to decide to do that again. How many people have repented more than once? Because our human nature, this is not meant to be a rebuking message, but because of our human nature, we have a tendency to naturally want to walk in the darkness. It just happens to be who we are. Anybody can know that. There's a tendency to want to do wrong. The call is each and every day to choose to walk in the light. Wake up tomorrow morning, or even before you leave here today, we'll pray out the end of the message. But choose the light. Choose life over death. Choose to walk with Christ each and every day of your lives, and remove yourself from the darkness that is Satan and this world. It's a choice that we must make each and every day of our lives. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, indeed you have set before us life and death, light and darkness. Lord, forgive us for those days when we have chosen the darkness. We've chosen the world's way. We've chosen Satan's way. We've fallen back into our old temptation. We've fallen back into the sins that have entangled us, maybe for many, for years and years and years. Lord, we repent. Lord, today we want to turn and go back the other way.
Lord, we want to walk into your light. We want you to shine your light of truth in every corner of our lives, in every corner of our hearts, in every corner of our minds. We want you to shine your light, Lord. We lay ourselves open and naked before you. Purify us, Lord. Take out the decay. Fill us with your light. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Let us walk in righteousness each and every day of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sit quietly. Contemplate the choices you have made. Maybe contemplate and meditate the choices you have yet to make. Be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Choose to walk in the light and not in the darkness.